I'm Kim.
And I'm Ashley.
We're entrepreneurs.
We're moms.
And we chase our coffee with LaCroix.
So welcome to Seeking Balance, a podcast for mom entrepreneurs,
where we attempt to redefine work-life balance by having conversations about owning a business, life at home, and self-care.
So hang with us while we talk raising babies and business. What's new in your world?
Oh my gosh. I think the most exciting new thing in the world today is that Milk and Baby released a line of nursing dresses.
Yay!
So up till now, everything at milkandbaby.com is other people's brands. We're like sort of a department store where you can find all the different nursing wear brands. And so we had our own line of swing dresses. They're three different colors designed by a local woman here in Louisville, Kentucky. She helped us design them. Like, we kind of worked together, and then she actually had them, she makes them, like, her and her staff. So they are made in the USA, like, handmade.
You can tell they're hand stitched.
Yeah, they're made of bamboo, which is like insanely soft.
Oh, so sweet. So I, full disclosure, I heard that there were limited stock of each dress, so I went on and bought one.
Mm-hmm.
And it is equal parts amazing for going out, and I really want to sleep in it because it's like sleeping in butter.
Yeah, you could. And you can wear it so many different ways. So that's what's new, and it's super exciting because it's a goal we've had since we started almost 5 years ago. So
that's really cool, and it's really cool that, you know, 5 years, your business grew so much, and you're still meeting goals.
Yep.
Like, that's really cool.
Yeah. So what's new with you?
School started for my older two kiddos, which is good for routine. I am not one of those moms that's like super pumped about school starting. I really love my kids to be home. And since my husband's a teacher, summertime is the best for me. Because then if he's home, I don't have to worry about lining up childcare and all those things.
Yeah, it starts to get hectic with school and all the schedules.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yep. But I'm excited for them to learn, and I've got a fourth grader this year, which is really old to me, and first grader. So yeah, I'm excited about what they're going to learn this year. Now I have two more kids to go to get into school. Their school starts in September, and then life will be much easier.
Oh, there, I got it. That's why they're not all in.
Right.
All right. Well, let's move on to our game. What's not? Okay. So I'm going to, I found an article on Britt & Company called Six Reasons Summer is the Perfect Time to Launch Your Side Hustle. So I picked four, and then I added a fake one. So you have to tell me which one you think is fake.
Okay, time out, and let me tell you, I heard on the radio today, this man whose side hustle makes him $100,000 a year selling used shoes. Like, oh, these Jordans, I wore them twice, I'm selling them. And he makes $100,000 a year.
Just goes to show you, there's so many things that you could do to make money if you really put your mind to it.
Apparently you should have done it in the summer. Anyway, okay, so one of these things is not a reason.
Not a reason for summer being the perfect time to launch your side hustle.
Okay.
Number one, summer is ripe with inspiration.
Okay.
Number two, we're officially halfway through the year.
Okay. is that true? I'm going to remember. Okay.
Number three, summer weather is good for your creative juices.
Okay.
Number four, it's better for tax reasons to have a few months on the books.
Okay.
Before the year's over. Number five, sometimes all you need is a new season.
Somebody was reaching when they read this article, let me just tell you.
Right?
But I think that the answer is the tax one, because it doesn't really matter when you start your business. You still have to pay taxes.
And you are correct.
Woo! Okay. Yeah, I would like to thank my accountant for schooling me on all things taxes.
Yeah. So, but I know I kind of just picked that because I thought a lot of people are scared to get started mm-hmm. on their business, whether it's a side hustle or full time. And at some point, you just have to do it.
That's right.
There's no perfect time, but summer is a perfect time. Or now, it's almost over, fall is a perfect time.
Every time's a perfect time. You just got to get your butt in gear and do it.
Yep.
Awesome.
On to the interview. Show, we have Emily McKay, the Chief Glitter Officer at the Diaper Fairy Cottage and lover of not setting the alarm.
Okay, so welcome, Emily. We are glad you're here.
Thanks, ladies. I'm honored that you asked me to chat today.
Yeah, so tell us about the Diaper Fairy Cottage. What is that?
So the Diaper Fairy Cottage is actually an expansion of my original business, which is called the Diaper Fairy, which is who I've been for about the past 8 years. I'm actually originally from Louisville, Kentucky, but my daughter was born and we became parents during my husband's medical residency program, and we lived in St. Louis. I have an environmental education background, and the more I looked into diapering options when my daughter was born, I knew that I was going to be committed to cloth diapers to reduce landfill waste. But my husband and I were both working outside the store or outside of the home. And so I searched and found a diaper service, which made cloth diapers as easy as disposables for me because I was going to have to change the diaper either way. I just decided instead of putting it into a trash bag and going to the curb that way, I would put it in a reusable diaper pail and set that pail out for the service to come by and pick up and leave clean ones in its place. And we moved home in 2009 when my daughter was about 3 and a half. So she was already out of diapers at that point. But I discovered that Louisville lacked a cloth diaper service. And so we opened one. That business has been going strong for about 8 years. And we're approaching our 4-year anniversary with its expansion, which is the Diaper Fairy Cottage. And that is a brick-and-mortar natural parenting boutique that offers gifts and gear for parents that have a natural parenting mindset, as well as a full and active cottage community that provides baby meetup groups and education classes, toddler playtimes and story times, and a lot of support, including baby wearing and cloth diaper classes, breastfeeding information, all of that kind of thing.
Yeah, you guys are busy.
We are busy, and fortunately these days I have a full flock of fairies to help with all of the different aspects of the business.
Oh, that's great. How many employees do you have right now?
So right now there are 8 of us, and because we are fortunately kind of housed between 2 business buildings that are right next door to each other, we have some fairies that are working on the service side exclusively. We have a few fairies that are working in the store exclusively, and several of our staff members go back and forth. We're fortunate in the respect that we were able to purchase actually the building that the store is in back in 2015, and then the building right next door to it became available actually about this time, August of 2016, so about a year ago, and we snatched it right up. So we now have 2 business locations right next door to each other, which really helps on people moving back and forth when you have a small business.
Yeah, and I know that one of the situations that happens in the area of town that you're in is that retail space is at a premium. So
yes,
when you can snatch that up, it's always exciting.
Yes, it is. And it was a true opportunity for us to snag something that allowed some business growth. And the nice part about this, and this is really unusual, is so we had the store in the location that we own, and the building right next door that we acquired actually used to be a dental lab. And the only reason I bring that up is because when you have a lab like that, that facility has capabilities that a normal building that along our stretch of actually what's almost truly retail with a lot of shops and restaurants and coffee shops and bars and things wouldn't have. So it has things like 3-phase electricity and a 4-inch sewer drain and things that we actually could fortunately use in a diaper service, especially if we decided to grow into laundering our own diapers and that sort of thing in that space that you wouldn't typically find outside of an industrial space. So it was a real windfall for us to be able to acquire that space as the dental lab moved out.
Kim and I both just got new retail spaces, and I found shopping for commercial space to be a little like poking my eyeballs out.
Oh, yeah. It's a challenge. It is a real challenge. And, you know, depending on your zip code, your price per foot can just skyrocket. And it's fascinating to hear what other people, you know, value in a space as far as, you know, what they're willing to pay and the amenities that are included. And it's a real learning process, even as far as understanding what is CAM, you know, just CAM, and recognizing right. that there's a whole world of terminology surrounding commercial real estate and commercial rent leasing that you just don't encounter in the residential world. So you kind of have to be informed in a different kind of way when you're looking at those kind of properties.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I found it so different. Like our first office, we just walked in, they said, cool. We signed the lease, done. And I was like, oh, this is easy. So the second time, after looking at tons and tons of spaces, and we found our new warehouse, that was a more legit space, and they had the contract, and I didn't realize that you could counter the contract. Yes. And so, Right. Yeah, lots of learning stuff. And
mine was more like I went into these places, and I would tell them what I needed, and they'd be like, yeah, we just have to put up some walls here. We're going to put some floor in here. Like, there were a couple places that I met that it looked like, well, somebody's either been breakdancing in here or, like, running some kind of drug lord system. And I was like, I don't think I have the imagination that the realtor has, because he was all in. And I was like, my brain doesn't work like this. Can you just show me what it would look like when I'm finished?
Right. Yeah. So the second space, the one that we lease at this point, is actually a house that's kind of been repurposed. So, you know, a lot of houses along that stretch where I'm located have been repurposed. But because the bottom was built out, especially as a dental lab, it took a lot of, that dental lab had actually been there for 25 years. So it took a lot of vision that the owner was, you know, willing to kind of pull stuff out that as far as counters and strange pieces of equipment that we just kind of had to visualize. And then we actually, because we do so much with glitter and sequins and have a lot of fun over in the cottage, we have named that space Glitterworks. And the cool thing about it is, so it's a repurposed house. The first floor is actually sectioned out into three office areas that we sublease to other even smaller business, kind of one person operation, small business owners. And then the bottom floor is where we operate our diaper service out of. So we actually even have some neighbors that reside within our space that help subsidize our lease, because we don't need that first floor at this point, and it allows us to reduce our fixed costs and then give somebody else a space to be right next to us.
I think that's a great takeaway for people looking for space to grow into. Like they're ready to go, but they don't want to just move, you know, take too much off the plate. I think subletting might be a good opportunity for some people.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it made it manageable for us in a way that we did need the entire space and appreciated having those. And those people are glad to have a space that's outside of their home. Because they're ready to make that next step from working in their home to having a space that is, you know, accessible from clients or away from making sure they don't get distracted by doing laundry. You know, those kinds of very real things.
Mm-hmm. How did you find those people to rent out your space?
So I basically worked through our community. Actually, one woman she was in an original workshop space that had an office attached to it. And she moved with us into this new space, and two of them have been former diaper or current diaper service clients, and one was actually found through a woman's leadership organization that I belong to called Greater Louisville Outstanding Women, called GLOW. But, you know, just kind of working through my network and putting it out there that I had, you know, one to three offices, depending on who wanted to rent what, within this price range, and just worked through word of mouth and through my professional networking organizations, which is that's my go-to for getting those kinds of situations, you know, kind of out in the open.
Very good. So, how many networking organizations do you belong to? You very
Well,
networky person.
So yes, I'm a natural extrovert, and so those networking organizations are definitely in my wheelhouse. I've scaled things back. Those who might know me personally know that I've recently survived about a year-long illness. I'm recovering from cancer at this point, so I've had to scale back, and I'm more cautious about how I use what I call my energy points. But right now I'm involved in that GLOW organization, Greater Louisville Outstanding Women, as well as LIBA, which is the Louisville Independent Business Alliance. And both of those organizations have a different draw, have a different membership base. Some of them cross over, but it allows me to work with other women business owners and leaders, as well as work with other small business owners. And I find that combination is really a generous, I guess, community base for me to draw from.
Yeah, in small business, networking and creating connections really is everything in my mind, because
It is.
especially in the worlds that we are all in, the three of us all work in an area of life that not everybody's going to be in forever,
That's
and
right. That's right.
so sometimes I meet with a middle-aged man and he's like, yeah, you have no services for me.
Right.
But having that connection, and when his coworker's daughter is having a baby, it's nice that they can pass that name along. So that's
Yes.
great.
And then also just the business-to-business interactions with people who can be good resources for me on accounting and computer work. And when I need to figure out who can do odd jobs around our retail store. I am able to use those people for other locally owned services that would be business-to-business connections for me too.
Yes, that's a really good point. And being a put your money where your mouth is kind of a person and supporting small business.
Yes.
So tell me, I think one of the most successful things that your business has done is create an extremely strong brand. When you were visioning out Diaper Fairy 8 years ago, did you know how much brand integrity you were going to have and how you were going to actually end up wearing wings like all the time? Or was that something that evolved over time?
That's a great question, and I want to say it's a little bit of both. I wore wings from the very beginning. I was so broke that I bought my own iron-on letters and made my own the Diaper Fairy shirt and wore it to the very first event that was a baby fair that I went to.
I think that's where I met you. Birth in the Bluegrass 8 years ago.
Birth in the
Coordinated the heck out
Bluegrass
of
8 years
that
ago.
thing.
Yeah, remember that event?
I
And
do.
made my own little wands to hand out. I have always enjoyed creativity, and I like to do artistic things. And I would consider myself a pretty strong marketer and brander. So it's something that I've always enjoyed in my business, and it's easy for me to work on that because it's almost a creative outlet for me. When I drew, because I actually drew my own logo too, and kind of took it to somebody to enhance it and turn it into, its logo brand form now. And I have not changed it. It probably is due for an update, but in a way, it's, I kind of like that it is as kind of homegrown as it is. Did I ever think that I would fully become my logo? I mean, it's a funny question how that has truly developed, and the number of people that I will sometimes see out in the community who will say, I don't remember your name, but you're the diaper fairy. And, I at this point don't have this because of my recent medical treatment, but, my logo had my signature curly long red hair. And so, that's an identifiable feature that a lot of people would make it immediately recognizable. And the other thing that I always appreciated is the fact that, what we do with a cloth diaper service is not glamorous, right? And so if we can add some fun to it, it makes it memorable versus being a baby clean diaper. I mean, baby clean diaper could be anybody. And baby clean diaper doesn't have this defining amount of fun to it. And so becoming the diaper fairy has added an element of just of recognition. And you know, I'm in a niche market, and now we have this niche brand that we have developed into having a flock of fairies, not just my employees, you know, wearing wings and vintage fabric aprons and having sequin strands around the shop and turning it into a fairy cottage so that everything is very streamlined, even down to, for example, our store rewards program is called the Glittery Green Rewards Program. And so I try to keep things in line with that brand so that it's comprehensive throughout. We do a home washer's dream is this diaper service that we offer. It's a one-time service where people who home wash their cloth diapers can bring them in, and we will basically deep clean them in this way that you can't get done at home, but we can get done through our industrial machines. And I could just call that a stripping service, or I could call it the dragon's breath stripping service, which means it's hot and it's dirty and it's stinky, right? And so having the time to creatively brainstorm and bring that branding across everything we do has, I think, driven that brand loyalty.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think it's one of the things that sets you apart. Like, anybody knows which group belongs to your business. Anybody knows mm-hmm. which item belongs to your business because everything does fit. Tell us about products that you've put in your store that you later decided did not fit with your brand. Are there those, or have you said, no, we've actually never really missed?
You know, well, that's a really great question. I think there's, well, what we have tried to do is cultivate a store that offers options that aren't truly mainstream. And so there have been brands of toys, for example, that we carried, and once they reached a certain level of mainstream availability, we've moved on from. So, for example, one thing, a brand that comes to mind that was always a hit, but would be Green Toys. And Green Toys we started carrying when the store first opened. They're made from recycled plastic milk jugs. It falls in line with durability and sustainability. However, that brand just reached such an availability that when something has started to be carried at Costco or Target or Walmart, it's hard for me to maintain the level of, I guess, brand ownership that would be something that I'm just carrying what everybody else is carrying. Mm-hmm. And so I'm looking to kind of bring up and bring to Louisville brands that aren't usually commercially available in big box stores so that we maintain that boutique level of availability. And then also are the ones who are seen in the community for having up and coming items and up and coming products that aren't available locally other places.
That's great.
Does that make sense?
It totally mm-hmm. does. And especially I think about those big box stores are going to price you out always, right? Because they don't have yes. the same kind of overhead. Right. So you have to go, well, if you can get this at Target, Target's for sure going to be able to sell it to you cheaper. Right. So I have to be able to offer you something that right. has value. I get it.
That's exactly right. And so that's, you know, that's why I am a big believer in going to trade shows and participating in conversations with other business owners that might be in other cities that I draw from quite a bit. And we trade back and forth as far as ideas, because, you know, staying on top of industry trends is key when you own a boutique, in specialty retail especially. And so working to figure out where that next wave is what keeps us viable and what keeps us current in my customers and our visitors' eyes.
Absolutely. Let's talk a little bit about family life. So who all is in your family?
So I am married with one child. My husband and I have been together about 18 years. We've married almost 15 of those years. He works full-time outside of the home. And we have together an 11-and-a-half-year-old, almost 12-year-old daughter who is fully into tweenhood and heading to middle school next week.
Oh, my gosh. Me too.
I know. It's a busy time, and it's a huge time of transition. I feel like this is the biggest transition we've had in years with her.
Yeah, I'm not looking forward to that, to be really honest with you. I got the toddlerhood
Yeah.
down. Like, if your biggest issue is that the line on your socks is a little askew, I'm on it.
Right,
But
right.
these years that you guys are talking about, these like middle school years, yeah, I'm not looking forward to it. I'll be coming
Yeah.
begging you girls for advice.
Yeah. So two things I've really noticed. She's kind of toeing that line between innocence and awareness right now, and we're having a lot of really surprising conversations about things that I know I wasn't wondering about at 11 and a half and 12. And so that's really interesting. And then the other thing that I think is fascinating at this level, and I think Kim, you probably are here with me, and Ashley, I'll just give you the heads up. What's interesting now is, we remember being this age that they are. And so I think it changes the way you parent a little bit because you have this level of empathy that you can recall what it's like when your best friend doesn't sit with you on the bus. And you can recall what it feels like that, you forgot your homework and it's really your fault and it's not because your mom didn't put in your own backpack. And so, we're working on these truly adult living skills, and starting to put that into practice. But you remember how crushing it can feel, especially when you're parenting a tween girl. I don't know how things are with you, Kim, but we're parenting a level of drama that is on a daily basis that just is,
No.
holy molars, it's exhausting.
Luckily, we don't have drama with the boy, but there's just the where you're talking about like life skills,
Yeah.
struggle. It's a struggle.
It is a struggle. It is. You're trying to raise, you want to raise kind grown-ups, and they want them to be self-sufficient, and at the same point, it's especially when you've got mature kids like we do, you have to also remember that they're only sixth graders, I mean, so there's going to be that waffle back and forth between them asking those super deep important questions and then also wanting to go play with the new Play-Doh that they begged you to buy them.
We deal with this one with my daughter, who is bright as the day is long and does such dumb stuff. Like, sometimes I look at her and I'm like, I know you're a smart kid. Talk me through the mental process that led you to decide to put slime on the carpet or what, like. And then I have to say to myself, oh, wait, you're a child. You're still 9. Okay, all right, take a step back.
See, well, yeah, at 9, you're entering the tween years. I feel like that's kind of when things started to change a little bit for us.
Oh, great. Actually, I'm really afraid because I remember fourth grade being a terrible year for me. It was a bad year, and my daughter is going into fourth grade, and I'm really trying not to project my fourth grade ugliness onto her.
Yeah, see, this is exactly what I'm talking about. We remember being this age. And so, but at the same time, their reality of their world is so different than ours. And, just even, figuring out what are the rules on communication on a phone. We didn't have to worry about that. We had one phone in the house that had a cord and you had to trade off who was on it and figuring out rules on social media and when do you allow access to things like Instagram? And when do you allow for there to be phone calls or a computer in the room, their bedroom versus, in a public part of the house? And so, all of those are just things that we didn't have to navigate so much as we were growing up.
So actually, that's a question that I think a lot of moms have, and we're all afraid to ask because nobody wants judgment, because it's not a judgy question. But like, what age do kids get phones these days?
That's a great question. My daughter was actually one of the last in her class in fifth grade to get a phone. And the only reason that we made the movement at that point was because when I had my cancer treatment, I was actually residential in another city. And I was residential there for about 6 months. And we had canceled our home phone because nobody was using it except for telemarketers. And so, with canceling that phone, we needed a way for us to be able to reach my daughter because she became a latchkey kid for sometimes a couple of hours, several days a week, in between the time she arrived home on the bus and my husband came home from work because he was basically single parenting while I was in treatment in another city. So that was our move, and we did that at her birthday and Christmas because she's a December baby. of her fifth grade year. But there were many kids who had phones in third and fourth grade. And I have found that, well, the phone that we chose is a slide phone that she can text on and she can make phone calls. There's no data to it. So we still are not there walking around with a $700, you know, pocket computer at this point. And I know she teased about it a little bit, but she's actually okay with it. And I know she was catching some flack and people were like, what's wrong with your phone? And she's like, it's fine. So she's okay with, you know, that compromise of a textable phone call phone, but no data at this point.
Right. So Graham got one over the summer because he started getting dropped off at places or being home for a few hours by himself, and we don't have a home phone either. So, but we went the route of one of those Walmart prepaid phones.
Like a bird phone.
So So it's like $30 a month, and we can cancel it at any time. Mm-hmm. We didn't have to have a contract. The phone was not very expensive, but we made him buy it with his money.
Smart.
Yeah, so it's been good.
Okay. So one of the women who sublets an office space from Glitterworks that we were talking about, she had her son work volunteer hours at a location this summer in order to earn his phone, and he just earned it yesterday. So, you know, I think that it's happening for a lot of rising middle schoolers.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I ask this question purely out of, like, I don't know what the right answer is. It was a big talk on the playground the other day because there were many moms on the playground that said, well, my kid has it so they can do this, I can't remember, whatever text program with all their friends. You should sign Sarah Grace up for that. And in my heart of hearts, I just shook my head, yes. Okay, sure, thanks for the information. I'm like, that kid is so not ready for that. Like, that's a level of responsibility she's not ready for.
Right.
So, yeah, it's good to know what's out there. It's good to know what other people are doing. I think there's a lot of group wisdom, and then deciding for ourselves, like, when is our kid ready? What responsibility level can they handle? Is it burner phone, or is it just a couple of girls with full-fledged iPhones in her class.
Yeah.
No. Sarah Grace is not ready for that. I'm barely ready for that, and I'm 31. I dropped that thing the other day.
Can I go back to a slider phone so I don't have to worry about people reaching out on social media at all hours of the night? Right. I would appreciate having that own level of control, I guess, you know?
Yes. One of my doula partners for a long time really tried to get us to go back to the beeper. She's like, we just need a pager. I'm like, I'm not 1990 drug dealer, so no.
Between burner phone and a pager, we're going to wonder what kind of business you're actually in.
Yeah, I'll let you guess which partner that was. tell us about where your business is going. What's your dream for this whole cottage community and cottage as a retail space?
Yeah, so that's actually a huge conversation that my husband and I are having me back and on the other side of cancer treatment, because I have had to reset my lifestyle and my daily operations. And so I'm at this point right now where I am feeling great on a daily basis, but I'm unable to go in and work in the store in a capacity like I was prior to my diagnosis because I'm still immunocompromised, and babies are great at hiding secret viruses that could get me quite ill and land me in the hospital. So I'm working behind the scenes, and I'm doing as much as I can, but my role has changed significantly right now compared to a year ago. So I'm enjoying the work for sure, and I'm enjoying, honestly, having a little less on my plate and having delegated things while I was ill and coming back and recognizing that those things can happen without my hand stirring the pot all of the time. It is always my long-term goal that the cottage community and boutique survives and is a resource for the families in our community, because I know how life-changing it has been for so many people, because that's what I'm told. I will also tell you, it is a very, very challenging time and year to run a specialty retail store. I have seen many of my colleagues in the past year close their doors. And the reality is, this generation of moms is shopping differently than before. And I'll even say they're shopping differently than they were 2 to 3 years ago. So we are working with that changing dynamic right now to figure out how to continue to be viable in the community and to offer or viable within our city and to continue to offer the community and bring those people who arrive for an event into the cottage so that they make a purchase that's perfect for them that basically continues to support the community that is vibrant within the store, if that makes sense. So, you know, I am working to make sure that we maintain viability in a retail market that is totally changing. I mean, this is affecting all retailers, big and small. But, you know, we have had even within, you know, my arrival home in early May, so we're talking 3 months, two other retailers that were focused on the childhood community have either closed or announced their closure. And so that is, it is worrisome to me. And I also feel like I'm constantly hitting people over the head with the, you know, if you find it here, buy it here, you got to keep us here. And there's only so much I can say. And so we are working on viability right now because it's a changing retail market.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we can't say it often enough. Shop small, shop local. You know, if you love the services and the service that you're provided by these places that you are not getting in a big box store, the only way you can keep that open is by patronizing those mm-hmm. people.
So, right, right. Yeah. I mean, I joke that Amazon doesn't run good moms groups, mm-hmm. but, you know, I mean, everybody, and I think that part of the problem, because I've done a lot of, you know, even just surveying of my cottage community, and the number of times that when I ask people, when's the last time you actually made a purchase? And they think it's much more recently than it actually is. You know, it's kind of helping people recognize that they think everybody else is shopping and they're kind of picking up the slack for when they walk through the door and walk right upstairs to a story time and don't make a purchase. Mm-hmm. You know, it's the fact that everybody else isn't necessarily covering that visit. And so, you know, we do what we can to be inclusive and kind and offer all kinds of resources and support. But helping people recognize that that comes at a behind the scenes cost that is usually not passed on to the customer. And a lot of the products that I carry, you know, I don't have the grace of marking up tremendously because I do know that even though if I were to increase prices, it would help offset the fees and the behind the scenes cost of running a community. But that means that with the raise in a price, someone's much more likely to stand on their phone and order it from Target or Amazon right in my store as they stand there. So it's a very challenging dynamic right now.
Oh, yeah. We used to have people come in another place that I know about, and they would come in and say, hey, is this cheaper on Amazon? And I'd be like, yes, it is. That's a dumb question. You know, I didn't say right. that part, but I thought it. yeah, it is cheaper on Amazon. What do you think? Or... yeah, people are kind of brazen, but maybe it's just a lack of awareness.
I really think it's, honestly, Ashley, I think it's a lack of awareness. And it's also, I don't think people, I don't know why, and I'm really working on understanding this better so that we can combat it in our store. And what you're referring to is something called showrooming, where somebody, and it's a term that a lot of us on the, you know, where the three of us are, we're aware of this, but as consumers, you may not be familiar with the term, but it basically means that somebody walks into a store and they use the existing inventory to kind of touch and feel and try, and then they walk right back out and order it online. Well, that puts everybody who is offering a store at a disadvantage because we're not running, you know, a museum. And it, you know, it puts normal wear and tear on items that then can't be sold, and it occupies employees' times from actually helping someone who is there to make a purchase. And it's something that that we battle. I don't think people really make the connection sometimes. I don't think they do it. Some people probably do it out of, you know, personal interest, but sometimes I think that customers just aren't aware of maybe the connection between that. That's what I hope, at least.
Yeah, me too. Okay, we are almost out of time, but we really quickly want to do a fast five with you. All
Let's do it.
right,
Okay.
so we're going to ask you five questions really fast.
All right.
Are you ready for Fast Five?
All right, do you like sparkling water or still?
Oh, sparkling water.
What is your favorite ice cream flavor?
Oh, gosh, that's tough. I eat ice cream every day right now, and I love the black cherry chip from Grater's Ice Cream.
So good, so
So
good.
good.
What is the worst job you've ever had?
The worst job I've ever had. That's tough. I have to answer something fast. I've really liked most jobs I've had, honestly. Yeah, I really have. I've really liked most jobs I've had.
What is your Starbucks order?
Well, I don't drink caffeine, but I do love a, I'll do a, maybe even like a half caffeinated, so or a decaf coffee with cream, honey, and cinnamon. Oh, it's
Like a
delicious.
meal.
It's called
Yeah,
a
it's a Miel.
port.
That's a Miel or a Beekeeper, either one. Yep.
Yes.
So good.
What's the favorite product that you have in your store? Your favorite.
My favorite. That's also tough. So we have this product right now. It's by a company called Fat Brain Toys, and I love all their toys. And they have a product called Squigs, which come in several different sizes and suction cup on both ends, so they can suction cup to refrigerators, foreheads, other pieces, and you can build with them. And they entertain me and everybody ages 9 months to 99 years old. They are just so fun.
Awesome.
Awesome.
All right, how can people find you?
So they can find us on Facebook and on Instagram, and you can obviously find us if you're in Louisville on Bardstown Road in the Highlands. Our website is www.diaperfairy.net, and we have two business pages on Facebook, both the Diaper Fairy as well as the Diaper Fairy Cottage. And then on Instagram, we are Diaper Fairy Lou.
Thank you so much for being with
Awesome.
us. It's lovely as always to talk to you.
You too, friends. Thank you.
Thank you so
Absolutely. And
much.
we hope you have a really fun weekend.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, the last one before school starts. So may the odds be ever in our favor for all of us, right?
Yes, for
Yes.
sure.
All right. Talk to you later.
All
Thanks,
right.
ladies.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks. Bye-bye. Okay, Kim, what are you loving these days?
Okay, I am loving. There's this lipstick, and it is it's kind of weird because you would never think it, but it's from Wet n Wild, which I know like from back in the day was like the cheapy kind of not the best lip, makeup. But Wet n Wild has a liquid lipstick called Liquid Catsuit Lipstick, and they have all different colors. And if you care, it is cruelty-free. But basically, the reason I love it is because it stick like it stays. You put it on, and it really does stay. Not as crazy as like the $50 put different levels, and stay there for hours and get done. But for regular liquid lipstick, and it's a matte finish, it lasts a really long time.
Think that's amazing.
Yeah.
Okay.
So someone told
It's
me about
called
it.
Wet n Wild Cat Suit.
Yeah, Liquid Cat Suit.
Liquid Cat Suit.
Yeah, kind of a weird name, but I promise you can find it at Target, Walgreens, whatever. Try it. You will love it.
Okay, I'm gonna Photoshop a picture of you of your head with liquid cat suit lipstick with a cat suit body.
Okay, perfect. No.
Look for that in the show notes. No, I'm kidding. Okay, what I'm into
Yes.
is a very old person thing,
Okay.
but I'm super into it right now.
Okay, that's fine. What is it?
I got a bird feeder on clearance at Target,
Okay.
and I put it outside my office window, and it's like watching the Dr. Phil show with birds. Okay, like there's arguments and they're really pretty, and I've just really enjoyed it. Which I made a post the other day about this, like being like middle age, and people really disagreed that 31 is middle age or moving towards it. because apparently I'm not going to die when I'm 60.
Well, hopefully not.
Hopefully not.
Well, I think it just depends. Some people start their, you know, aging earlier, some later with their season of life. So, I mean, I don't know if I would call it middle age, but if you're moving towards the more mature.
It just feels like an old person thing to do, right? Like to love a bird feeder?
Yeah, kind of.
Okay, but I'm okay with that.
But it's fine.
But everyone get yourself a bird feeder because it's amazing. You can look at it with your liquid catsuit lipstick on. But post in the Seeking Balance podcast hangout, what do you refer to the 30s as? What season of life? What stage?
Yes.
Are you a young adult? Are you an adult? Are you
mature?
Midlife. Mature adulthood.
Yeah, we want to know. We want to know. Find that at Facebook. You can just search Seeking Balance Podcast Hangout, guys.
Thanks for listening to Seeking Balance.
If you don't want to miss future episodes, be sure to click the subscribe button in Apple or wherever you get your podcasts. And hey, if you enjoyed this, why not tell a friend? We appreciate your help spreading the word.
You can also follow us on Facebook and Instagram. Our Facebook group is called Seeking Balance Podcast Hangout. That's where you'll find us answering listener questions, meeting people, and discussing ideas.
If you want to see notes, photos, or links from this episode, just go to seekingbalancepodcast.com. You'll also see a support button at the top of the page. That will take you to our Patreon page. You can support us for as little as $1 a month and receive exclusive content. Thanks for your support!